So do we give Billboard Hot 100 charts a pass?
Since it's
they're a secular organization, they are
all Billboard's doing is measuring things. Like, they don't care.
Right.
They're not controlling anything. They're just measuring it.
That you know of, Brian.
All right, Q. is it the new big one? The Billboard is controlling what people are listening to. Do we
give Christian music a pass?
Do I give Christian music a pass? Absolutely not. I don't.
Not Christian music. Not necessarily that, but the type of people out there listening because they want something encouraging and positive, and that's safe for the little ears in the back of the back seat, right? Mm-hmm. These are the people that are primarily driving. You say to the top of the chart, and now Carrie Underwood to the top of the chart, including these songs from Pentatonix and whatnot that are ultimately getting airplay on a lot of apparently Christian radio stations. I'm not sure who draws that line, right? I mean, who says that Pentatonix Spotify hits listens counts to the Christian chart?
And that's a very good question, and I don't have a good answer.
Who's drawing those lines?
And I don't know. I think some of it is some of that is streaming online play. Like, if I listen to a song on Spotify, does Spotify determine what genre and what chart it goes on? I don't know. I think some of it has to do with radio and what radio mm-hmm. stations are playing and what mm-hmm. people are calling into the radio stations and requesting.
Right.
And so that's where a lot of it goes.
Are you telling me that it depends on this type of station? Like, oh, well, this is a Christian station, so they get to play this genre of music and that's it. And so Pentatonix, because Christians are calling in and requesting Pentatonix, say,
yeah,
and they get to be number four on the Christian chart. Whereas they could also be.
It's confusing. But I think what happens is different radio stations, based on what their station is, have license to play certain songs, and they pay money for these licenses. And so I think if enough people will call into the radio station and be like, I want to listen to this Pentatonix song on this radio station, mm-hmm. then they can secure that license. And once they mm-hmm. do, that song mm-hmm. can cross over.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so, well, especially for the Christian music, almost all Christian radio stations are listener supported. Mm-hmm. And so it's people are paying money to the radio station to keep it alive. And mm-hmm. as a result, I know a lot of Christian radio stations have very open borders when it comes to people requesting music. Mm-hmm. And even like you can just sign up and become like a... you can suggest music and you can vote on music and you can do, and you can do a lot. I know that that's very,
I was part of that, one of those listener panels for a long time where I would vote on music. I would mostly just say, yeah, you play it too much, because I felt that every song was overplayed and still probably do. Well, it's interesting. And I guess the reason I bring it up is because, the reason that these songs are so high on the Christian charts, however that shakes out, is because people are requesting it because mm-hmm. they're very popular. And so these are the songs that are held up as shining examples of Christian music. So is it that Christian music is going downhill, or the listeners are going downhill?
I think it's both. I mean, I really do. I think that it's both. I think that when you have mega churches like Elevation and Hillsong and Bethel that are not only writing the music, but they are also teaching people through YouTube. I didn't go to church today. I just watched a Bethel sermon on YouTube. I mean, you know, that's happening. Joel Osteen. How many people watch Joel Osteen on a week?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's insane. And so Stephen Furtick is now on TBN. He overthrew Kenneth Copeland,
wow.
who needed to be overthrown. I just don't know that Stephen Furtick is going to do much better. But it's insane how many people are listening to these preachers that aren't teaching the gospel. They're dumbing people down. They're letting them get by on just the bare minimum, if that. And so people just want to feel good. That is really what it boils down to, is Christianity has become a religion of feeling good. And if the song makes you feel good, it doesn't matter what it says. People want to listen to it.
So Christensen, a associate Christians, what is his name? I thought it was Christensen. But anyway, he wrote a paper some time ago that describes something called moral therapeutic deism. And I think we've talked about that before on our show.
Possibly.
It was a while ago, if we did. But the whole point of it is, this is where kind of Christian culture is headed. At the time that he did this study, it was a while ago. Christian young people, what did they want? They wanted something that was moralistic, you know? Mm-hmm. They wanted something that was like good and evil kind of thing. Like, they wanted to make sure that they're doing good. And you see a lot of that kind of... Yeah, well, that, and also, you just look around at our culture. We have become much more moralistic than we used to be. There are definite rights and wrongs, but of course, you know, what's backing that right and wrong is a whole nother story.
Yeah.
But there, and then therapeutic. So it also has to do something, you know, something good for you, right? It has to make you feel a certain way, like you're saying. So moralistic therapeutic deism. And then there's this vague notion of God. And unfortunately, what this does is it turns God into some sort of Santa Claus or vending machine type. You know, you go there when you want to, and the end of religion, the chief end of man, if you will, in moralistic therapeutic deism, is to feel better, to feel good. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Christian music slides right in there. And
if perhaps, I could just overcome my own fears.
Right, right. If we could just overcome our own fears or whatever else, you know, whatever else that we're feeling that day. And perhaps adoration is the part of an antidote to that,
mm-hmm.
where it is forcing us to look beyond ourselves and our situation and the things that we're caring about, and instead look to God and to his priorities and to something beyond ourselves that is outside of ourselves. And, you know, we're ceasing to look for something that makes us feel any kind of way. We're actually now beginning to move into the worship of God by simply realigning our focus to God rather than ourselves and our situation, potentially. Yeah. I don't know. That's a hypothesis.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we talked about last time with Jim. You know, a lot of people would say, you know, who are we trying to please the most at church? Are we trying to please the visitor? Are we trying to please the member? You know, who gets the most attention? The answer is God.
Mm-hmm.
It's neither. It's neither the visitor nor the member that we need to try to be pleasing. It's God. And and when we lose sight of that, we just lose sight of all of it. And so I think that the churches that are trying to that are focusing more on the members, that are focusing more on trying to equip the saints, mm-hmm. I think are almost there. But so many of the churches don't even give squat about trying to equip the saints. They're just trying to keep the visitors in the building, mm-hmm. and by whatever means necessary. Let's, punching the wicked on the jaw, that's a little rough. Let's ditch that. What can we replace that with? How about a song about how I feel bad and God is making me feel better? that sounds mm-hmm. great. You know, people want to hear that. Mm-hmm. There's a song that my wife has really has ministered to her called "Come Ye Disconsolate Where'er Ye Languish," which is a mouthful. Mm-hmm. And she's dying to find a musical adaptation of that song that isn't boring, because she says none of the music that she can find adequately captures the grief that is in the song. And so jokingly, I sent her David Crowder, "Come As You Are," which is based on that hymn. But instead of talking about grief, it's talking about the sinner. And, you know, you're welcome however you are, just come. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how, just come as you are. But it's like, no, mm-hmm. the song isn't about that. The song is about the griever can find comfort in the comforter. And so we need to come to God in our grief, and we can be comforted because he is the God of all comfort. And so we lose this, we lose all of that when we're trying to just keep the guest in the door by whatever means. We lose sight of everything. And so we don't equip the saints, but we also don't tell the lost what they need to hear. And we're not following God. We're not worshiping him. We're not adoring him like we're supposed to. And, mm-hmm. And we just create what the California Supreme Court just sees as the same sort of entertainment that the movie theaters and concerts, show.